He died in a plane crash, which was tragic. But boy, he has this one song that when you hear it, it'll bring you down, all the way down. It's such a sad song. Song is sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the water come in and go out, watch the ships come in and go out, and my life just keeps falling apart, and I can't fix it. And it just gets worser and worser and worser. That's not a good word, but that's what it does. And I don't know that you can find that in a dictionary, but I'm going to use it anyhow because I think that's the way it is. That song captures so much that is in a lot of songs and in a lot of lives. We take a look at our own lives and we wonder, wow, what in the world is going on? One problem after another. We sometimes live our lives that way, don't they? Just one problem right after another. And then we find, there could be financial difficulties. And we may have folk around us that are right now struggling financially. Because, boy, our world has changed, hasn't it? It's really shifted. And if you think about it, it could be the kind of situation where, well, I can bring in $1,000 a month, but my bills are $1,250 a month. How in the world am I going to make that work? Think about a person who decided to have a hair transplant. He got the hair transplant. He wanted to plug a hole or two in his head. About 3 months later, all of his teeth fell out. That's not good. The lady says, boy, I've got to get a facelift. I really want my face to be looking good. And man, they can really stretch that thing out and you get amazing. There are some folk that are, they have so much extra skin, you get a set of saddlebags with it. But you get a facelift, then what do you do about those sagging muscles that everybody sees? There they are, just saying, ooh, that's the way it is. You know, if you live long enough, you go to your closet, and some of us, my wife and I, we go to our closet and we pull out a perfectly well-coordinated outfit. Beautiful. Oh, wait a minute, it's 10 years out of date and nobody cares. That's the way it is. One problem after another. And here, as we look at this poor lady, when Jesus encounters this Samaritan woman at the well, boy, that's a strange conversation, isn't it? The first place, the fact that there is a conversation is unusual because it just doesn't happen that way. Jews do not talk to Samaritans. And if you'll notice, when Jesus made the trek he was making, he deliberately went through Samaria. Deliberate. I tell you what, this lady had a divine appointment with God and she didn't know it. And Jesus was willing to talk to her. And notice that when he goes, he's right there at the middle of the day. That's when it's the hottest. And in those world, in that world, nobody wanted to come and get water in the middle of the day. They get it early or they get it late, but not in the middle of the day. But here is this woman coming after water in the middle of the day. Wonder what she's trying to avoid. You know, she is being ostracized by the other women because of her habit of what she's doing. None of the other women liked her a lick. And she was being ostracized. And so we look at this woman and she is lonely. She is by herself, although she may be a fine lady as far as it looks go. I tell you, she was having a lot of problems. This conversation that she is having leads to conversion. It's kind of an amazing thing. When you talk to Jesus, if you talk long enough, you're going to be there. Because Jesus knows how to hunt people down, doesn't he? And he knows how to get your attention, and he knows how to walk with you. And the nice part is that we need to have him as our guide and the one who leads us. Well, this conversation is, just crazy. And this woman cannot understand. Here is a Jew who is warm, he is gentle, he is honest, and he is compassionate. And that is in spite of the fact that he knows everything there is to know about her. He said, "Lady, you've been married 5 times. Not only that, you've got a new guy that you haven't married to yet." He knows what's going on. And really, in her life, with all this that's going on, her life is empty. And I have a feeling that her eyes were filled with the emptiness of her soul. Jesus knew that she was hurting, that she was empty, that she needed to have a conversation and help her open her eyes to what God wants. Boy, if we could ever get our eyes open enough to find out what God wants, it helps us a ton. But we need to be able to do that. She had wanted to get her life together for a long time, I do believe. And probably every time she married a new guy, she would think, "This is the one. It's going to be perfect." Well, in that world, it didn't work out that way, because she couldn't be in charge of anything. That was just the way that world was. And I think there's an emptiness in her. She wanted to get it together, but the only way that it would ever be gotten together is if she got to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how you untangle a mess in your lives. And the thing is, Jesus can help us get our lives together. He can help us. All we have to do is let him help us. I want to point out some things about her that you need to know. If you look, let me find it here, verses 19 and 20. "Sir," the woman says, "I can see you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Her religion was entirely mixed up. And we're living in a world today where so many people are buying into stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus. It has to do with them trying to get their own lives together. I'm sure you've watched these, the palm readers or the psalmists or the get your reading from the psychics in California. And you can see those 4 or 5 ladies and one man. "Wow, I didn't know they knew all that much. Wow, they're putting me on the right path. I'm going the right way." Well, you know those pigs, when the Gadarene demoniac came out, those pigs were going what they thought was the right way, and it was straight to their destruction. And when a person has their religion mixed up, there isn't any way that they're going to get straightened out unless they know Jesus Christ. And so we've got to hear the truth. The truth is, what did Jesus tell his disciples? He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me." If you want to know the truth, that is the truth. And she is about to have a visit with the Messiah that they are all looking for. And this will change her life forever. What in the world for people who have all these mixed up religions? What in the world do they get out of it? It's just a religion. And you don't really get much out of it. You may make a lot of tears getting there. Say, put me to work. I want to really be in charge here. But when you're in that kind of religion, it doesn't help a lick. Like many, this woman needed to get her religion together. The real question that she needed to have answered was not, where do you worship? How do I find God? That's what she needed to know. How do I find God? And it's spelled out in this passage very plainly. How do you find God? Well, you find Him in Jesus Christ. And that is the source, that is the place, and that's where it needs to be. Second thing about her life. Her life, her priorities were totally mixed up. She was more concerned about hauling water than she was the living water, the truth from Jesus. She was really concerned, just let me have that water so I won't have to come here all the time. I won't have to put up with all these women being mad at me. She really thought she had it together. I put this down as a way of understanding her priorities. She just doesn't know what she's talking about. She's that concerned. She looks at Jesus and said, how in the world are you going to get any water? She's almost laughing at him. It's 100 feet down. You don't have a rope and you don't have a bucket. And how silly do you look trying to get water out of that well without a way of doing it? There is a goal that she needed to have, and the goal was not to get out of work, but to get right with God. That's the way that she needed to get her priorities. Her priorities should be, I really want to know what it is to do God's will, and I want to be in His will. And so we look at that and realize her goals were, she really wanted to get out of work, but what did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God, and after that all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's where she needed to be. She needed to know that it was that, seeking the kingdom of God. Probably the worst indictment against anybody is the third point. Her emotions were totally mixed up. I want you to think about her emotions. In all my years as a pastor, I tell you, I've seen a lot of people who let their emotions guide them, and it's collision course. It is a collision course when you do that. She thought she had found true love 6 times. And she still hadn't found what she needed. She was a person that was filled with disappointment. And her emotions were destroying her life. There's an old song, probably you don't remember it. My heart has a mind of its own. You notice everybody in the movies and everybody in a lot of places, follow your heart. You better not follow your heart without your brain being engaged. Your heart, your emotions will fool you. The emotions make you think, I'm going to be happy about this, and then you're not happy about this. And you just know it's going to be better if you can get your emotions right. But her emotions were totally messed up. They led her to be disappointed. And they had brought her to a place where she had to go get the water at the middle of the day to avoid all the problems that she was facing. She did not want to be ostracized by the other women. And so we recognize that that's what was going on with her. The fourth thing that I would point out to you is her understanding was totally messed up. Look down to verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Her understanding was totally messed up. They were wrapped up in five gods on Mount Gerizim. They thought those five gods will do whatever we need to have done. They will guide us. And guess what? They didn't. They could do nothing. They're nothing but a bunch of stones and rocks and boards. A god that you can put on your mantle is no god at all. The only God who is the one who has created us, the one who knows us, and the one who guides us. That day, she found the long-awaited Messiah. I don't know whenever that finally came to her, but wouldn't it have been fun to watch her face when she realized, I'm talking to the Messiah. Wow. You notice, she didn't carry out the job of carrying water home. She left her jar and took off running and told everybody. That man told everything that I needed to know about me. That's the Messiah. And so she got them to go down. Please go take a look. Listen to him. And that last passage we read, remember? When they talked to Jesus, it wasn't just because she said it, but they were converted by what he said. And they got saved. Lots of them got saved. And they got to know the Messiah. And it is amazing. You notice one person dealing with God can affect a lot of people that they know, if they will. When we are converted, when we are in fellowship with God, we need to have an influence that reaches other people. That's what our job is. That's what we're supposed to do. And we did read, sing, Rescue the Perishing. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore, touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness. Chords that are broken will vibrate once more. That is a wonderful hymn. And I guess we're going to be able to sing that hymn. And I'm going to offer an invitation. And I feel like that today, if your life isn't quite exactly where it ought to be, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. You need to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. He doesn't just come in to save you. He wants to be the Lord of your life for the rest of your life, and you can be made right, and it can be good, and you can worship God in that fashion. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and let's sing this hymn. He'll give you the page number, and you'll have to find it in your book. You know, we do have books.